This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome, Etta West, co-founder and president of Vaccine Choice Canada, researching safety of vaccination since her daughter's severe reaction in 1977. 40 years of research and education. Welcome, Etta.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate being here to speak with you today.
Great. What have you learned about vaccinations? You've been studying them for decades.
Yes, indeed. It's been a long, long journey. And, it was triggered by my youngest daughter's severe reaction to measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. Those are three live viruses packed into one shot that the majority of babies get today once they're a year old. At 12 months, it's the recommended vaccine that's given. And, at that time in 1977, I had never heard of any side effects to do with vaccines. So it was really shocking when that happened, and it thrust me through that doorway of wanting to find out as much as I could about that vaccine and about vaccines in general. So that's what launched.
What kind of symptoms did she have after the vaccination?
A very, very high fever. She was catatonic. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a child who is so ill that they basically don't move. They open their eyes. They're dark and listless, and it's almost like they've gone into another place. They're semi-conscious.
I have to let you know, I have a 1984 baby who had the exact same shot, and he screamed lividly for over 12 hours straight. And when I phoned the medical, they said it was because his brain was swelling and that sometimes there are problems with this shot. But I never had anything, you know, happen again. We've had struggles throughout his life with things, but how often do people have reactions, and what would be the proper protocol if you have a reaction? I've heard of the vaccine safety report. How many people are actually calling in saying, yes, this has got to be wrong?
Oh, wow. You packed in a lot of questions and observations and personal sharing into that statement. So thank you for sharing that. I'm always so interested, of course, when I meet another parent, you know, who's had a similar experience with their child following vaccination. You know, with the MMR shot, this is the triple live virus shot given to babies at 12 months. Actually, Canadian research is pretty interesting. I think it was 2011 or 2012, a Canadian study was published that found that, this was an Ontario study, so they had reviewed the vaccination, not the vaccination records, but the ER records of children that were that came to ER, or the parents took them to ER, and also some of those were admitted to hospital for observation. And what they found was that 1 in 168 children receiving that shot end up in ER. And then a smaller percentage are then admitted because the reaction is so serious. So it's a very well-known reaction. Yet the health officials, overall, they minimize it, they poo-poo it, they often tell parents that that's not a problem, that this is a normal reaction. And that's kind of the response that the majority of parents get, including myself. I know that when I called our pediatrician when it happened, and also my daughter, you know, developed a severe case of measles from that vaccine. So I knew as soon as I saw the rash breaking out, it was a classic measles rash. But, you know, I'm digressing again because this is, you know, we've got so many aspects of this conversation now that we're addressing. Mm-hmm. So basically, health officials, doctors are in denial. When a parent reports a vaccine reaction, it is usually met with, that's a coincidence. It's not the vaccine. Yeah, we do know, as I said, from this large Canadian study that looked at tens of thousands of children, that one in 168, you know, the reaction is strong enough. It frightens the parents. They take the child to ER, and that's what they're told. Oh, well, you know, this is common. This can happen. Your child will be fine. Yet, there's no follow-up. They don't then keep the record, the records of these children who have had these severe reactions, and then follow them for the next, let's say, 5 or 10 years to see what happens. Do these huge reactions, and as you said, you were even told as a parent that it was brain swelling and encephalitis that your child had. Well, brain swelling and encephalitis can cause brain injuries. It is, you know, the main source of brain injuries in young children, I think, from reading the literature that I have over many, many years. So you know, it's easy for the medical people to stay in denial because the long-term follow-up studies are never done to see what happens developmentally to the children that have suffered these big reactions, and then compare them to a group of children who have never been vaccinated to see how many of those children have similar developmental problems.
Okay. So the other, 167 out of 168 that have no problems, are these very beneficial to have now? Like when we were kids, we all got measles, we got mumps, we got rubella. It was family time, right? So is it necessary to immunize against it in this day and age?
Well, I think that's for the individual parent to start to decide. You know, I need to really, really be clear. Our organization is an educational society. We do not make any vaccine recommendations or speculations about whether people should or shouldn't vaccinate. We're talking from experience, you know, the parental experience, and also having done a lot of research that we put out there on our website and our newsletters, so that people can read them, and that will inspire them to do more research so they can make an informed decision about whether vaccination they feel is good or not for their children.
Okay.
You know, we can't make broad sweeping statements. That's not our mandate.
Yeah. Can you speak to the connection between autism and thimerosal?
It's thimerosal is the correct pronunciation. Now, thimerosal is a vaccine ingredient. It was used as a preservative for many, many years, from the 1930s onward. And you know, over many years, well, I'm just trying to think about 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, they began to discover, and these were parents groups, actually, parents whose children had become autistic following severe reactions, encephalitis, which then ended up in an autism diagnosis, okay? And so when they started looking at the quantity of thimerosal, which is 49.6% mercury, mercury is extremely toxic element. It's the second most toxic element on the planet, you know, and it is known for causing brain neurological injuries. Well, parents started to, you know, put two and two together and began to look at the research. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the autism story has become so polarized. The whole question of how much are vaccines linked to autism, whether or not those vaccines have thimerosal or the mercury component called thimerosal in them, you know, this is a big question. No, I don't think, I'm certainly not qualified to say definitively, absolutely, that thimerosal has caused autism.
Okay.
I'm not able to say that.
Okay.
But the indications point in that direction. Okay, because you just put two and two together. If you know that mercury can cause neurological injuries, then your next question is, what is this stuff doing in vaccines, and how much brain injury is it causing, and how much of the brain injury it causes actually leads to autism? That's kind of the progression of questioning that you have to look at.
Okay. The other thing that with the immunizations is they're taking, you know, children, brand new children, and early in life, before the first 2 years, they have most of their immunizations. Is this a good time to be putting it into them?
Well, my personal belief is that it's a really, really bad idea to be injecting children during the most critical, most crucial time of brain development, immune system development, neurological development, of injecting them with very complex biochemical substances that are drugs by any definition, and that also contain ingredients. Samerosol is one of them, but they've really backed off in using that, except for influenza vaccine. But the vaccines still contain very harsh chemicals like aluminum adjuvants, which pump up and drive the immune system response. And in young children, what is now very, very well known in the medical literature is that brain development and development of the immune system go hand in hand. So the immune system has a huge role to play in the brain development of young children. And one of the things that you don't want to have happen to your young child under the age of 2 or 3 is that you're injecting them with substances that drives brain inflammation, which vaccines are by design intended to do. That's what their intention is to drive inflammation, because inflammation then brings the immune system into high gear. So it is really, if you break it down and you look at it from a very simple, basic perspective, vaccines and the huge amounts that are given today. In Canada, a baby can receive the normal amount of vaccines a baby would get in the first 2 years of life are 14 vaccines given in 39 doses in the first 2 years of life. Okay, so it's just a huge amount of these highly, highly reactive, active biochemical drugs that are injected into the child, with the known result of huge inflammation, brain inflammation as a side effect as well.
Okay, Edit, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to get right back to you. We'll be talking more about vaccine issues with Edda West.